The phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to News Talk 1400 KQMS and Free Fire Radio. I'm Carl Bott, and welcome to the 8th of October. Phone lines here, 221-1402. And what a day it is. It's a great day. There's so much stuff happening. But first, let me introduce you to my producer here, who I've already rolled around the floor with already this morning, poking each other in the eye. He tried his environmentalist moves on me. I just kneed him to the groin.
Kangaroo kick.
He tried the kangaroo kick, whatever that is. Anyway, Kelly, good morning.
How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. I don't know how good it is, you know, with our guest. Hoping that guest makes it this morning. And then, of course, I'm joined kind of by my partner in life, too, Linda Bott. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, and you know, it's not ever kind of. It's always and forever.
Well, no, I meant kind of joined because you're not exactly here. You're down in L.A.
I'm in Los Angeles. Oh, my gosh, we had such a great time. You know, the furthest person, my girlfriend Robin Watley Khan, flew in from Greece. And they came in from Palm Springs. They came in from all over Southern California. Of course, I flew in from Northern California. But I'm talking about the Dean Martin Gold Diggers, which, of course, I was with the troupe for 8 years. My girlfriend Marie was with the group for 12 years. So we were in the latter half of the group back in the 70s and 80s up until 91. But yesterday was a very special occasion because we met at a restaurant in Beverly Hills with our musical director. His name is Lee Hale, and also with Neil, who is the head of the Dean Martin Fan Club. And we get those magazines, if you recall, that come to the house, I think, by quarterly. So there must have been, I think, 9 girls. That, I mean, they're all drop-dead gorgeous, I'm telling you. And then Lee, and it was a wonderful reunion. And Lee is, you know, he's written a book called Backstage with Dean, and that book has been out. And he did a tour with that book. And it was just wonderful to rekindle audition moments when we traveled. And, of course, my girlfriend, you know, Marie, who lives in Huntington Beach, and then Robin from Greece. So we're all... We spent the night last night and went out and had a wonderful dinner, and we're just we're sitting around the table today talking about old times.
Well, I tell you what, I've had the opportunity to meet several of the gold diggers, and all of y'all have
such a bad connotation.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, and plus the Dean Martin. And I tell you what, you're absolutely right. They're all, you know, all of y'all are gorgeous, and just, you know, a lot of fun to be around. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. We've got the phone lines backing up. You know, Linda, thank you so much for calling.
And when Jeff Morris arrives, you guys have a good time. Enjoy, and I will be home tonight.
Well,
I love you, and stay well, North State.
Okay, thanks, Linda. Okay, bye. Well, yeah, let's hope Jeff Morris makes it today. He was going to be the guest. Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. This is Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines are already backing up. We'll get to you as soon as this break's over. Stimulate some action. We don't get some satisfaction. Hey, this is Carl Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. How are you today?
Fine. I haven't even started off yet. What do you got?
Hey, you know, I'm calling for United Way this morning. Nancy Kolb, who is the CEO for the Northern California United Way, has asked me to be the chairman for their program for veterans. It's called Support Our Soldiers.
Okay.
So I'm calling to tell you a little bit about Support Our Soldiers this morning.
Great. Tell me about it.
Well, Support Our Soldiers is a program. United Way is very involved, of course, in our community and in many different areas, and they want to also be involved in the veterans community. And so this morning we're calling to support the veteran stand down that's going to be coming up on the 24th, 25th, and 26th of this month.
Okay, we've talked about that Saturday, and we're going to be talking about it a lot more here in the upcoming weeks.
Absolutely. We're just calling to let you know that United Way is supporting the veterans in our area, and we're working with Dale Streetman, who is the in charge of the veteran stand down that's going to be held there at the Shasta Fairgrounds. But we wanted to let them know that United Way is completely supporting our veterans community in this area, and that we want to make sure that if anybody had any information they want to call United Way, that we could go ahead and direct them to the right channels to make sure that we're taking care of not just the veterans who are having issues on the streets, but the stand down is about the veterans who are coming back from Iraq in the different situations and don't know about their benefits. And Dale Streetman wanted me to let you know is that it's about all the veterans, not just the veterans that are homeless, but every veteran that's got a need. There's going to be a lot of different supporting organizations there to help these veterans out.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about that, and it's one of the things, like I said, you know, as you know, I push this really hard for veterans, taking care of our veterans. And Jeff Morris is here today, and I'm going to ask him some questions, somewhat pointed questions about veterans. But we're going to support this. I think you need volunteers on the 23rd to put up tents, and
that's
it begins
correct.
On 24 October for 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity,
okay,
Carl.
Okay, who do they get a hold of?
Okay, if they want to get a hold of Dale Streetman, then the phone number is 209-4306.
Tell Dale to send me an email with all that, and so I can put it on the website. We get lots of hits on freefireradio.com.
Great, we'll make sure it happens.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm joined by the Democratic candidate for Congress, Jeff Morris.
Good morning, Carl.
A long way in, huh?
Yeah, a little construction out there this morning.
Well, that's
thanks for the filibuster.
Well, we can thank government for this. You know, you know. By the way,
something else we
by
can
the way, you know what?
Government.
I've got to say this. I have just got to say this. Healthcare in the United States.
Yes, sir.
I heard last night Senator Obama say it is a right for the American people to have nationalized health care, which means the government runs it. Now, this is the same government that runs the economy that got us into this mess. Why would anybody want the government into our health care?
Well, I think that's an extrapolation. Just because you have nationalized health care doesn't mean the government is necessarily running it.
VA.
Sure. But that doesn't mean that nationalized health care is necessarily strictly a government entity.
I tell you what, before I give...
I think it's a leap.
Well, I tell you what, I think that anytime the government gets into health care,
yeah,
just like they have anything else, that we're going to have a problem. I mean, I think the VA care I have here at this clinic, by the way, headed up by Pete Privet, is absolutely outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But once it leaves Pete, wow. I mean, we're having to send people all the way down to Sacramento. And that's one of the things I want to talk about is veterans issues.
Sure.
We're having to send people down to Sacramento to get a test done because it costs too much money up here in Redding. So they end up having to make a 12-hour trip. Some of these guys are in their 80s.
Absolutely, Carl. And you know that the issue is not that it's necessarily government running it, but how they're running it. If you talk about your issue specifically, I don't understand why we make veterans travel a couple hundred miles to get health care. They should be, if it is a government-run system, it is, it's a reality, they should have a card, just like a Medicare card or any other government system. They should be able to go to any health care provider in Northern California and use that card to get their health care benefits.
Well, you know, let's talk about that. Jeff, you know what? I think you're probably right about that to a point. I have TRICARE. I've spent 30 years of my life in the Marine Corps in some pretty harsh places. So I got TRICARE, right? You know how many people accept TRICARE here in Redding? No, there's more than zero. There are a number, but they not everybody because they don't get paid enough, one.
Right.
And two, they don't get paid on time.
Right.
So what happens is you go around of, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of doctors are in Redding, there is a minority of them that accept TRICARE. So I don't see how giving a card to somebody makes any difference unless you force them to take it.
Well, but the thing is, Carl, is what has happened with a lot of government programs over the last 10 years, specifically healthcare programs. Let's talk about Medicare. There have been changes to Medicare, which I think is a great program for most seniors that have it, that has started to privatize Medicare. It's cost the government more money, and people get less services out of it. So it's how the program is implemented. It's not, if you want to paint a wide brush, that government programs are bad, I think that's doing a disservice.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say all programs are. Oh, hey, we got to take a break here. This is Carl Bott, and I'm joined by Jeff Morse, Democratic candidate for Congress for this year. Phone number's here, 221-1402. Give us a call and ask Jeff a question. This is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Daniel.
What can we do for you, Daniel?
Well, Jeff, you know, I'm leaning towards giving you my vote, so I want you to know that right up front. But one of the things I'm concerned about is I hear a lot of the folks are saying that the health care is a right rather than a responsibility. I mean, well, it's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. You know, I'm also retired from the military, and I realize that my benefits are also a privilege, but it's something that I obtain through contract. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing I'm curious about is I haven't seen a change in the Constitution regarding what is a right and what is a privilege, and I don't see the health care as a right. Certainly, we have a right to pursue that if we're able to either afford it or find a way to obtain it in some way. But I hope that if you get elected into the office, that one of the things that you do is make sure that this is not something that is run and totally administered by the federal government. I just don't see that that's going to work.
Okay, Daniel, is your question, for Jeff, is does he believe health care is a privilege or a right guaranteed to an American?
Absolutely, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, Daniel, thank you.
Well, I don't want to be Clintonian about this, but it kind of depends on the definition of what you think right is. Certainly, it's not going to be worked in the Constitution. I think we all know that. And I also think that we should be treating it as a privilege. That being said, we should do everything we can to make sure every single American has the opportunity to take advantage of that privilege. So,
Okay, Jeff. Every single American. What about illegals?
Well, I think there's an issue there. I think that, you know, we need to be taking care of as many people as we can take care of, and there are illegals in the country that do pay taxes. They do provide a workforce for us. Do we want them unhealthy? I think that's an issue. I don't know where exactly I sit on that yet. I'll be honest with you. I think.
I'm glad you're honest about it, because this is a tough question, Jeff.
It is.
And I appreciate your honesty. I really do. But the fact is that we have so many million illegals here that we've actually shut down, as you know, hospitals and clinics right here in Southern California, due to the fact we've had so many illegals in there and they couldn't get, just the cost of it.
Well, and Carl, just to correct you a little bit, that's not just because of illegals. So
not just because, but many of the people being seen in the emergency rooms and a lot of these the urgent care clinics are people here illegally.
Right. And so if now we have the choice then, right? We have the choice of turning them away and the ramifications of that, or we have the choice of finding out what how the system can be modified so that they don't impact our emergency rooms.
And well, the system being modified, does that mean that we pay for them?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer to that, but perhaps it's something we need to be working on with the countries that are coming. They're coming from also. I mean, none of these problems exist in a vacuum. You know, illegals in many times come here because there is not work in the country where they're coming from. So there, all of our decisions have an effect on each other decision.
So you think that this plan of the Wall Street tanking the way it is a clever plot to push the immigrants back into Mexico?
I'm not that conspiratorial.
Well, I don't know. I figured that Bush would be blamed for that at some point here in the next few days. You know, hey, he's getting rid of illegals. That's why he got rid of the stock market here.
But to answer Daniel's question, I think that we need, nationwide, we need to be working on this problem. And it may not, I don't think it's going to be solved nationally. I think that we're going to be looking at healthcare on a statewide and regional basis, with hopefully help from the federal government, some of the things that we just talked about, specifically to veterans, but also with other groups of people. I don't think we're going to have traction soon to do this nationally. It's going to have to be proven at regional levels that people are willing to pay for their health care.
Well, and that's part of it, being able to pay for at least part of it. You know, I mean, a giveaway is just, I mean, it would have such another dramatic impact on our economy, which is already, you know, staggering.
Right. Well, look what we did in Trinity County. I mean, we saved our hospital up there, but we saved it by the people voting, constitutional somewhat county, by the people voting to tax themselves to make sure their emergency room stayed open. 73% approval on that.
Well, you know what? That's fine. If the county itself votes on that. But then I sure also would like to see who uses that.
Oh, and I think most members, I voted for it. I'll tell you why I voted for it. It wasn't for me. I'm 40 and arrogant. Uh-huh. I voted for it for the 80-year-old that lived next door to me and the 5-year-old that lived next door to me.
I understand that. And as long as the county understands ramifications, it's not shoved down their throat.
Right.
Hey, this is Carl Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. My guest is Jeff Morse, running for Congress for the Democrats. Join us after the news.
Good morning, KQMS.
This is Carl Bott, and welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS here, Free Fire Radio. My guest is Jeff Morse.
Hey, Carl.
He's running for Congress. You know what? I don't know anybody that would be running for a job that 90% of the country thinks he's an idiot for.
Well, you know, you're right there with my wife, Carl.
Okay. Jeff, we've got some people on the lines here, and we'll be getting to you all in just a second. Here's my question. You made a statement that you would have voted against the economic bailout, even though your party, Nancy Pelosi, who, of course, is the heroine of the North State, was voting for and was pushing real hard.
Mm-hmm.
Have you changed your mind about that at all?
Well, there were two pieces of legislation that came through. There was the first one that came out of the Bush administration and pretty much went to the Congress as is, which is the one I would have voted against. Gave broad authority to the Treasury Secretary. It's basically was a giveaway with no strings attached. There wasn't much oversight. You know, it was the fox watching the hen house, basically. You had the Treasury Secretary, you had the chairman of the SEC as the oversight board. Just plain crazy. What happened with the second one was it's basically the same thing, but they added all these bells and whistles on to it to get more members to vote for it. Now, I can't say, because I wasn't there involved. I would have been screaming from the rooftops about both pieces of legislation to make sure that there was actually some controls in there and that it wasn't just a straight cash giveaway, which is what it is.
Well, what about, let's talk about the earmarks. I think it was $91 million came up to Trinity County.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
It wasn't?
No, it was a lot less than that.
Okay, $41 million?
No. No.
I saw big numbers, millions.
No, the total probably for the North State is what you're thinking about, but it was the forest and schools.
Yeah, that one right there.
Siskiyou County, I think, gets about $7 million out of it, seven or nine. Trinity is seven or nine. Shasta gets some. Butte County gets some. And that is a piece of legislation that they've been trying to pass for years. And our current representative actually had great opportunity to pass that as a standalone from 2000 to 2006 when he and John Doolittle were on Ways and Means and Appropriations and they had a majority in Congress and a Republican president. If you can't get it done in that situation, you can't get it done. So now it got tagged on to this to the bailout plan. So, you know, again, I wasn't there. I wasn't helping craft the legislation. I would have crafted it differently. But the problem is that our representative voted for the bailout both times. So it wasn't like the Forest Reserve funds were made his decision for him.
Okay. Let's go to the phones here. Rosie, good morning.
Rosie, you mean Roscoe?
Oh, Roscoe, I'm sorry.
You got to put your glasses on.
Wow.
Well, you know what? You're right, Roscoe.
You're going to get some hate mail, Carl.
Wow.
Check it out here, to your guest here. You know, really, you don't sound any different than any other of the politicians that we want to get rid of. And earlier, a couple of minutes ago before the break, you said you didn't have a clue really on a plan for the illegals. Well, I'm going to tell you what the plan is. How to save the state of California and probably really get the nation back on its feet. And that's you send all the illegals back. Got it? You close the border down. Got it? Well, there you go. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Roscoe.
Thanks, Roscoe.
All due respect, I think that's a pretty simplistic view. I think we just sending the illegals back is not going to fix the problem on Wall Street. Just sending the illegals back is not going to fix our infrastructure. Just sending the illegals back, you know, there's actually been a reduction in illegal immigration over the past couple of years. Illegal immigration started under the Clinton administration. So let's make sure we're addressing what the actual problems are.
But
is it a factor? Absolutely, it's a factor. But let's not blame the whole shooting match on illegal immigration.
Well, you know, the whole shooting match can't be blamed on it. But what I am appalled at is neither one of the candidates have addressed it. That we do have a problem with illegal immigration. That we, if we wanted to, we could shut down that border relatively easy. I mean, I know for sure we could do that and not have to use thousands of troops to do it. But the thing is, it hasn't been addressed, and this is a touchy issue for many of my listeners out there.
Sure,
you know, you can't tie it into. I mean, you can't say it's the sole cause, but it sure is one of the problems leading up to it, though.
Yeah. It's one of the problems leading up to it. None of the members of Congress are, or two current candidates, or the media for that matter, are really asking questions.
Yeah, what's going on with that, Jeff?
You got me. I mean, at least I have the wherewithal to come on here and say, well, you know what? I may not have the answer, but at least I'm willing to talk about it.
Well, you know what? That's one of the things we've got to do. We've got to, you know, our Congress has got to stop this bickering and get on to what's good for America. James, good morning.
Good morning. On the subject of health care, previous Surgeon General Everett Koop has mentioned that there are three criteria for health care. One is high quality, mm-hmm. Second one is low cost, mm-hmm. and third one is universal access. Mm-hmm. Now, he said we could achieve two out of those three, but we can't do all three. Now, if I could ask Mr. Morris, which two out of three would you support? And if you tell me you're going to do all three, you're not telling the truth. I'll take the answer off the end.
Thank you.
James, thanks for the question. Well, I appreciate the opinion. If I was going to pick two out of three, access and high quality. I think that if it comes down in your scenario, which I'm not sure I necessarily agree with, because I think there are some opportunities for low cost there too. But that being said, I would take the access and high quality. We need to make sure that people have health care available to them, and it's the best it can be. And we may have to pay for it.
Well, and that's true, and I'm not going to get into other countries about how long it takes them to be seen by people and specialists. I mean, that's a whole show that we can have on something else. Bruce, good morning.
Well, good morning. Question there for Jeff. I don't know whether he addressed anything to do with our energy policies yet?
Not yet.
Well, there is a good one. I would like to know what is his thoughts on energy policy. Got another question after that, but is he lockstep with old Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and no energy policy at all forever?
Oh, absolutely not. I've been working a lot with rural counties around California regarding biomass utilization, you know, pulling fuels off the forest floor and turning it into electricity.
Let's talk about drilling, guy.
Sure. I'd like to talk about how much oil we export also. I think that we need to be really sensitive to the fact, and I think I said this last time I was on Carl's show, that all of these are natural resources, whether it's oil or timber or water, any of these things.
Are you for drilling in Anwar?
I'd like to know that we're not going to export the oil if we're going to drill it.
I didn't ask that.
Well, but
I mean, just a simple A, yeah, well, I'm for drilling in Anwar and drilling offshore. You for drilling offshore?
If we don't export the oil, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to it, but I want to know that that's not going to happen.
If we don't export it, I think that would be a good idea to have all that we need and export what we could to make some bucks. Wouldn't that be a good idea if we're exporting?
Well,
we're sending $700 billion across the water just for oil right as we talk, why not? Why not export technology and oil?
Well, Bruce, we're not exporting technology. We're exporting oil in that scenario, but it's really, what's our goal? Is our goal independence, energy independence?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if the goal is energy independence and we are using oil from other countries, we're importing it currently, our best bet would be to replace those imports with oil that I think we currently export.
You're not for
export.
Drilling offshore. You're not for drilling in Anwar, true, or the oil shale that we have in the Dakotas and Montana.
I don't know about the oil shale in Montana, but I can tell you that I want to have our exports addressed while we're talking about drilling.
Well, and,
okay,
that's,
Bruce, I'm gonna have to break here. We have to take a break here. This is I'm sorry. Those are great questions, and I've got the phone lines backed up, but we're gonna keep on addressing this here in the next few minutes. But this is News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Bott with Free Fire Radio. Join me on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Karen, good morning, and thanks for waiting.
Thank you for taking my call. And though I strongly disagree with your guest, I really respect him for coming on the radio and being open to questions.
Karen, thank you.
I have something that bothers me in the extreme. I heard earlier this week that $11 billion in California each year go to dealing with illegal immigrants. That's just a comment. But this is something that I feel if a person is intelligent, willing to listen, I have some grave fears regarding Obama and his running for presidency, and this has to do with many of the people who have touched his life in his growing up years and even yet. And I'm so thrilled to talk to somebody locally who is a member of the same party. The people who have touched his life, their ideologies in so many cases are so extremely opposite the ideals of our country. I wanted to ask you, how can you feel comfortable and safe with a person with those ideologies running for president? And I'll listen to you on the air.
Thank you very much,
Karen. That's a fantastic question. You know, for me personally, I think that we need to be looking at who a candidate is, and I'm going to say this generally. I'm not as familiar maybe with the folks that have Barack Obama's been involved in with necessarily. I don't know specifics about your question, but I understand the general gist. I think we need to be looking at candidates who have perhaps more comprehensive knowledge of not only our own country but the world in general. And so, you know, I know that with the presidential race, and Carl and I were just having this conversation, potentially neither one of these candidates are the candidate that any one of us would necessarily prefer, generally. But those are the choices this year. That's the system we're dealing with. You know, Mr. Obama has also gone to Harvard Law School, which I don't think we should shy away from either. I think that we should be looking for somebody who can rationally sit down and analyze and talk about issues. And, you know, just because I have met somebody in my life doesn't mean that I have the same belief system that they do. So, you know, if...
But I think the question is Karen and many other people, is it's not just meeting them. It's continued meetings. It's continued sitting in a pew for 20-something years. And I think it's also this thing with heirs that even CNN is coming up, and CNN, you know, isn't Fox, it isn't MSNBC, but it comes up and says, hey, there's some, a lot of questions here, you know, that, you know, to say that he didn't know him. I think what the question is for people is his judgment on things. Yes, he went to Harvard, and I applaud that, but he's never once said, oh, you know what, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that, you know.
Well, you know, the comparison, I think, can be made is that, you know, heirs, like it or not, and not mostly, but, you know, he was a person within Chicago that was dealing with the issues locally there. I mean, you don't not talk to the guy. And so there are people in, yeah. in Trinity County that my supporters probably don't want me to be talking to because they hold different philosophical beliefs. But I do because it's important to connect with every single person. And I don't think that that necessarily means that Obama holds the same beliefs, whether it's Reverend Wright or whether it's Ayers.
Okay. Okay, hey, we've got a full lineup here. Let me go to Edith. Edith, good morning.
Good morning.
You've got like 30 seconds, Edith.
Okay, well, my grandmother used to say that the biggest problem anybody had was when you run with a pack of dogs, you pick up their fleas. Okay, the other thing is everybody's talking about illegal aliens. My question is, what are we going to do about outsourcing?
That is an excellent question.
Because I know quite a few people in this area. I'll tell you what, I can work against an illegal immigrant and yep. hold my job, but I want to know, one person out there that's supposedly in the bigger place said that when the times get tough, the tough get going. My question is, are we supposed to go to Manila,
right.
Pakistan,
right.
Indonesia? Where are we supposed to go? Or do we just move to another state?
That's a good question.
Okay, Edith, thank you very much.
Bye.
Well, and Edith, that actually kind of exemplifies the situation with illegals also. I mean, you know, if the economy gets bad enough here, we may have to move to China to get a job.
Well, you know,
I appreciate it. I mean, we should be looking at that.
Well, it's got to be done, and unfortunately, we just don't have enough time. I've got like 10 more minutes here, but each one of these questions could obviously be a 20-minute question here. But look, we've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl Bott on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. My guest is Jeff Morris, running for Congress for the Democrat Party. Oh, Bob, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. I wish y'all could hear everything that's being said in here. Okay, a real quick question. Do you support the propositions?
I'm against the propositions wholesale. I'm not a fan of the proposition process generally. I voted against I think every single proposition that has come up, actually. I don't think it's a good way to run government.
Okay, so you're against all the you'd vote no on all the propositions?
Yep, across the board.
Okay. Joe, good morning.
Well, I'm glad I had this opportunity to listen to him, and now I know for sure I won't be voting for the guy.
Joe, I appreciate your phone call, though.
He just runs counter to just about everything, I think. Anyway, I wanted to know what can be done locally to increase veterans hiring in the city and county and state level. I know the federal government has programs in place, but the city, county and state aren't as strong as the federal government. My answer off the air.
That's a great,
okay, great question.
Great question, Joe. You know it, and that's a very good question. I think that the feds have a program because veterans are associated with the federal government, not necessarily city and county government. Not to say that you couldn't put some hiring policies in place. I would just be a little unsure. I'm on the Trinity County Board of Supervisors right now. Might have to be a little wary about being challenged legally from a discrimination standpoint. But
for giving veterans a boost for,
as opposed to any other group. Not that I would disagree with it. I'm just saying standpoint.
Veterans already get extra points when you're applying for a federal job. Why can't they do it for city and state?
I wouldn't be against it. But I think you just want to make sure there's not any jurisdictional challenges there.
Okay. Mike, good morning.
Yeah, hello. Good morning, Carl and Jeff.
Morning,
I have
Mike.
A quick question. Over the last several years, it seems like the train has kind of come off the tracks. It seems like the people now work for the government,
yep.
and the government no longer works for the people.
Yep.
And it's very frustrating at times, especially on topics like immigration or these billion-dollar bailouts or taxes. California has the highest tax bracket in all the states. And it seems like we're constantly bailing out the government when, in fact, they work for us. We don't work for them.
Right.
And I'd like to get your input, both of you, on the air about this topic. I'll listen on the air.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike, thanks for that. I come from a retail background. My family's been in retail for decades. And I think it's really a question of who's the customer. You know, it's not the big lobbyists. It's not the big corporations. It's not Wall Street. The customer is the people of whatever district you happen to be representing. And, you know, every single person in government, whether you're city, county, state, or federal, needs to be thinking and making decisions with that philosophy. Who is the customer?
But would you then support, if the majority of your constituents said one thing, would you vote against them? You're working for them.
If I actually was able to talk to every single one of them, here's the issue, and get their feedback, then I would support that decision.
But you can't do that. That's impossible.
Let me finish my answer.
Okay.
But the challenge is if I'm getting feedback from my constituents and I feel that I need to vote against it, then I need to go out and talk to them and find out exactly why. With this bailout decision, our representative just flat out voted against it without really going back and talking to his constituents about it. Received a, you know,
Tons of
phone calls.
And you know what? That's true. Okay, we've got just a second. I've just got to ask this one question. The Second Amendment,
yes.
The right to bear arms and the right for a concealed carry permit. How do you stand on that?
Support it.
Completely?
Completely.
No reservations?
No.
Except for the ones that they have
assault
in law.
Assault weapons and all that kind of thing, I think we need to be careful about. But, I'm the full supporter of the Second Amendment.
Okay. All right. How much time we got left here, Kelly? We got 20 seconds. Okay. Look, we've got our next show is going to be Saturday, Free Fire Saturday. It's been a great show. Thank you very much,
Carl,
Jeff.
Thanks for your patience.
Well, you know what? Thanks for coming out and saying, you know, telling the truth is that, you know, whether you knew it or not, you said that.
Right.
So thanks a lot, Jeff.
Right. Thanks, Carl.
Okay. Next week we'll be on all week, 13th, 14th, and 15th. This is Carl Bott for Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?